Whoa, a little jazz.
I like it. It's funky.
I knew that Hakeem Olajuwon went number one in that. That was my bad. Portland had the two pick and took Sam Bowie. Thank you. I can't remember who corrected me on that.
You did the
Randy.
You did the Bruce Weber. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I like that. It is the Drive with Tate and Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's continue our discussion on Bob Knight. Had a couple of people weigh in on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. I know Scott in Terre Haute says, I think Knight coached up his talent better than any coach in history. There was an interesting stat out there that Isaiah Thomas, through all of Bob Knight's years of coaching, he does, you know, three national titles, a handful of Final Fours. Isaiah Thomas was the only player that he coached that was an NBA All-Star.
Is that right?
Yeah. Which is pretty crazy. Now, he's had good players.
He
had really, really good players through the years. I don't think it was a situation where it's like, oh, he was the underdog who just coached up these guys that nobody wanted in recruiting. But I do think it does maybe separate him from a guy like Coach K, who's been able to – I think they said in the 2021 All-Star game, there was three NBA All-Stars that went to Duke. So
that's unreal. I didn't realize that.
It says something about him in terms of his coaching ability. For sure. 309, the great Bob Knight quote, the bury me upside down so the critics can kiss my – I think that one is pretty legendary for sure.
Yeah.
Justin says, growing up as a kid in Vermilion County, which is close to the state line, closer to the state line of Indiana rather than Champaign County, it was always Lou Henson and Bob Knight. In my lifetime as an Illinois fan, nothing but respect for the general. Rest in peace, Bob Knight.
Justin, I assume you drink Miller Lite. You're from Vermilion County. Just answer. Just say yes. You're right, Lon.
You can call me Sal. Bobby was my go-to guy for chair throwing. I like that.
Well, of course, my story with Bob is that I was there for the Matt Heldman, Jerry Hester, that crew, Kevin Turner, when they won the Big Ten championship, and they won the last regular season game. They won at Bloomington, and won by 10, I think. And that's when Bob Knight had the three technicals with Ted Valentine. And I had told it was either the night before or two nights before I told Ron Rector at WAND, I said, hey, do you mind if I go cover that game? And he's like, oh, if you want to drive over there, I'd love it. So I grabbed a camera that day and took off and went to Bloomington. First time I'd been at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. And I'm sitting right underneath one of the baskets to the left, with the Illinois bench off to my left and Knight and those guys, you know, on down past the scores table. And that's when there was like somebody got hurt or something for Indiana, and Bob Knight thought it should have been a foul. And Illinois was up like 20 at half, and Indiana kept clawing back, but Illinois kept they kept having a run to just kind of extend it. And so Knight just erupts and he gets three technicals. And that's when Ted Valentine was standing at half court after he had tossed Bob Knight. And Knight, you know, of course, he thought, well, I'm going to go onto the court to check my player. But in reality, he was just out there to chew, you know what. And the officials knew that. And they're like, you know, Bob, you can't be, you know, whatever. So he has to leave, right? And he's not wanting to leave. And, of course, Indiana fans are going irate. And so he's walking down the middle of the basketball court towards Ted Valentine, and he's coming right at me. Like, so I'm still pretty far away. I'm on the baseline, but I've zoomed into Bob Knight walking towards me that's coming right towards Ted Valentine. And you can see Valentine in the picture. I thought Bob Knight was going to punch him. I really did. And it would not have surprised me if he did. That's what I thought of Bob Knight. When he went past Ted Valentine, Valentine flinched. And he was kind of holding, remember how Ted Valentine would
cross arm.
He crossed his arm and he put like a finger up by his nose.
Yep.
And when Bob Knight walked past him, and he walked past him like, I don't know how he didn't touch him. And Ted Valentine flinched because he thought Bob Knight was going to punch him too. And I know you've heard me say that, but I remember going into the post game, and Chris Widlick was there from Channel 3, and I was there from WAND. I'm not sure if Scott Musgrave or anybody was there from Channel 20, or back then 15. But you just knew, like, this is going to be a you-know-what show. And, of course, Knight just spent the first 10 minutes of the press conference shredding the officials, et cetera. The officials even read a statement, like they wrote a statement to read, you know, from the pool official or whatever. And then we were all like on pins, and like nobody wanted to ask. Indiana reporters didn't want to ask him a question. And finally from the back, I was like, Coach, you know, this Illinois team is really nobody expected this out of them. They're now just possibly a win away from a Big Ten championship. Can you talk about how, you know, this team really kind of stepped up this year? And, oh, it made him so mad. And he gave some flip comment, you know, on Lon Kruger and whatever. And then he turned it into, well, you know, they've got seniors. They've got players that, that work hard. And it was basically just
message to his team.
Message to his team. Yeah. But I'll never forget that. And I remember after it got done, Chris Widlick goes, kudos, my man. That took some guts. I'm like, what's he going to do, come punch me?
He could.
I guess. Well, I'd have thrown one back. I mean, there was no mutual love affair there. So, yeah, I know you get ejected after two fouls, but there were three technical fouls called that day. Three techs. So it was interesting.
I think, yeah, I mean, number one, Indiana is my favorite place to go in the Big Ten on the road. And I think because of the history there, just it's an awesome environment, obviously. In the campuses, you go to like Nick's Pub. I don't know how many places you've been on.
I just went over there and back.
Okay.
So I did not go to Indiana.
We got to go hang out.
I'm not that kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know you're not. But I like to divulge a little bit. And it's fun because it's a place that just the history is very prevalent. It's almost a little purposely in your face, I think, if you're a visitor. With the banners and everything. Huh. But it all is their rich history is all Bobby Knight's tenure.
Yep.
Like, it's not, correct me if I'm wrong, like predating him
in terms of Branch McCracken and his two titles.
In terms of something crazy, like them being thought of at one point, I know that maybe not so anymore, as a blue blood program is because of what Bob Knight did there. So I certainly respect that about him. As far as growing up in Champaign and being an Illini fan, it's no, like I said it already, you're taught at a very young age to hate Indiana, and the crux of it is because Bobby Knight's relationship with Lou Henson.
There's no doubt.
And I remember my mom's, you know, back before you'd get on the internet or your app or whatever to buy tickets, you'd go stand in line the morning of single game tickets coming out, and it would wrap around what was then Assembly Hall. And I remember being there. I was probably 7 or 8 years old at the
freezing
time. Yeah, and you're there to get Indiana ticket. You want to go see Illinois versus Indiana. I remember sitting like in one of the last rows of Assembly Hall, and Bobby Knight was coaching then. I was young, so I don't remember a ton of it, but that was the matchup. That was team you wanted to beat every year. So,
yep.
And I think it, of course, you have the classic bully line Lou Henson has said about Bobby Knight. Although I want to, maybe we could play, Brett Barron's tweeted out a cool clip.
It was a cool clip because it's funny what Lou says at the end.
Right. Of Lou's last game. Was that his last game ever? It was definitely his last game over at IU.
I don't think it was his last game ever.
During his final, well, his last game in Illinois. But, yeah, his last matchup with Bobby Knight and them giving him a chair on the way out was pretty cool. But, I think that it's a situation where it's a coaching legend. Obviously, he did some controversial and questionable stuff, and obviously some stuff that's not even questionable that was just downright
bad
and disgusting. You know, choking people or a player and having some berating things to say about his guys and whatnot. So,
well, and I didn't like how he treated like the guys at like NCAA tournaments. You know this. When you go into the press conference, there's always like a moderator who has nothing to do with any team that's playing. He's just located in San Antonio, Texas, and he's with the NCAA, and you're going to moderate the Indiana Buffalo press conference. And Knight would just berate those people. Just to the point where I'm like, and I know Bob Knight was a big guy, but there's no way I would have taken what those people took.
Yeah.
No way. I would have been like, you know what? You can.
He was just a mean-spirited dude.
He was very.
Now, you told a story during the break, and I've heard kind of a similar one, too. Like, he's been known to do some nice things for people.
Incredible.
Like, I know my grandma always talked about he came over for some charity event, and they wanted him to be a speaker, and He refused to be paid for it, wanted to buy his own dinner and everything, and he spoke for 2 hours. And
that's amazing.
Like, here's Bobby Knight in Champaign and behind enemy lines doing this to help out. But obviously he's had other situations with his own players and certain people that yep. he wasn't nice to. He was downright mean as well. And on the note of Illinois, I haven't read through all of Season on the Brink. I'm of course, now I want to go back and read the whole thing. But early on in it, there's a story mentioned of he skips, I think, a Big Ten media day because he's mad at the conference because he thinks Illinois is cheating as far as recruiting goes. And he's kind of making a point of it that he's going to not show up because he wants Illinois to get punished for some impermissible benefits or not ethical recruiting.
Right.
So I think that's
I forgot that
another thing that obviously is a sticking point between the two sides. So
I know we got two funny things to play here, but I do want to Lindy texted in U of I Land O'Lakes text line. He said, not sure who will argue more with officials in heaven, my mom or Bobby Knight. I now forever have to remember my mom passed away on the same day. And Lindy, I did want to say, we're very sorry to hear about your mother who passed away. So yeah, that's true. They both passed away yesterday, and that's sorry, funny. They'll both be up there giving them grief, man. Giving them hell. That's what I love.
I wonder if officials get new professions when they go to heaven. They're like,
maybe Lindy's mom will now be an official. That would be kind of cool. Like that'd be a funny, like, God's like, okay, well, here, you gave him all sorts of, you know what? Here's the whistle. There's a game going on right over there. Go officiate it. That's awesome.
Let's play, Kyle, the clip that Brett Behrens tweeted out that this was once shown on WCIA 3. It was from Bloomington, Indiana. You'll have to, I think there is a year on it that Brett Behrens tweets.
1996.
Yeah, it would have been 96. 90, first year I started at WAND.
96, Lou Henson's last game coaching against Bobby Knight, and they had a little bit of a tribute to Lou Henson before the game. Here is Bob Knight and Lou Henson.
During those 21 years, the players on both teams have shown what college basketball, the very best of college basketball. There's never been an incident with players in any one of our games. On the back of this chair, there will be a plate that simply says, to Lou Henson, an excellent coach, a tough opponent, best wishes from Indiana basketball. And we haven't agreed on everything over the years, but I'm going to miss you.
Yeah. And he gives him a hug.
Yeah. This is funny.
Thank you. Thank you. Is this really the Bob Knight that I know?
I thought that was excellent by Lou.
That's pretty good.
Is this really the Bob Knight? That was so Lou Henson right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pivotal figures of an era in Big Ten basketball. Bob Knight, Lou Henson, Gene Cady still living.
Big time.
Is Judd Heathcote still alive? He was around that time, right?
Yeah. Before Izzo took over. Yeah. Judd Heathcote.
But really those three in particular in this area, and obviously,
exactly.
Teams that were competing towards the top of the Big Ten, Illinois particularly in the 80s. And
very cool.
Cady and Knight. But there is also, we mentioned earlier, Bobby Knight coaching for the Olympic team in 1984.
This is awesome.
And he tells a good story about Michael Jordan, and they were at halftime of a game against Spain. And Kyle did some editing here to clean it up because obviously it's Bobby Knight. But let's play this story because it's pretty funny. Here's Bobby Knight speaking about coaching Michael Jordan on the Olympic team in 1984.
Today, when today's over, we have to work to change it. But you, I think, have got to really be a flexible leader if you're going to be an effective leader. I walked into the locker room after the first half of our game with Spain in 1984 for the gold medal. We're ahead by 29 points. We played basketball as well as the game can be played. Michael Jordan has played 12 minutes out of the 20, He has 11 rebounds, 9 assists, and 19 points in 12 minutes. In my opinion, there's nobody that's ever played anything that can compare to Michael Jordan, with the possible exception of Jack Nicklaus and Babe Ruth. Michael Jordan is just the best there ever was at what he does by a considerable margin. So I'm walking across the floor with this 29-point lead as I look at the scoreboard, and I'm a great believer in the best 3 minutes of the game for us has got to be the first 3 minutes of the second half. But what the hell am I going to say? Hey, we got to get better. We're 29 points ahead. We got to win by 59. These kids are going to be a little bit satisfied with themselves. They know how well they play. And when I get to the locker room, I still haven't come up with an answer. I open the door, and the first guy I see is Jordan sitting in front of his locker. Idea light flashes. I say to myself, I'm going to get on Jordan's ass a little bit. And everybody else is going to say, God, if he's upset with Jordan, how's he feel about me? 12 minutes, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, and I have the stat sheet in my hand, and I walk over in front of Jordan, and I look down at him, and I say, Mike, when the hell are you going to set a screen? We got four guys out there screening when you're in the game, screening to get you open, screening to get each other open. Haven't seen you set a screen yet. The only way I get all five guys screening, Mike, is to get you the hell out of the game. Now, when are you going to set a screen? All you've been doing so far, rebounding, passing, and scoring. You need to screen, Mike. Now, Jordan, you've all seen the grin. I mean, it's the greatest grin in the world. Doesn't quite use all of his grin in this circumstance, but he looked up at me and he grins a little bit and he says, Coach, didn't I see last week where you said I was the quickest player you'd ever been around? I said, Mike, what the hell has that got to do with you screening? Coach, I think I'm setting them quicker than you can see them out there. Well, I was flexible enough to look at Jordan and say, then God, slow him down a little bit so I can see him. These are the things that I think have to go in to being a leader.
That's pretty good stuff.
That is really good. I had never heard that. That's so funny. He's like, all you've been doing is rebounding, scoring, and whatever.
Yeah.
Just everything you're supposed to do, essentially.
Exactly. Oh, he was a funny dude. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
For as much as he was a jerk, I think.
What did you think of him as a broadcaster? I was kind of like up in the air.
I don't know if I remember it well enough, honestly.
I he was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give him this. It was him. I mean, he wasn't trying to flare up for the TV or try to be somebody he's not. I mean, it was just Bob Knight. And to a point, sometimes it was pretty boring. But, of course, his insight into things is pretty amazing. And, of course, so, I mean, listen, again, you talk about a guy that how fun would it be to sit down and talk to him about stories like that? I mean, the stories that you and I and Kyle carry around, you know, I've got more than you, Derek, because I'm older, and you've got more than Kyle because you're older, and they're funny stories, and every once in a while you'll be around your buddies having a beer and one will come up. I'm like, oh, I got to tell you this. His stories are like 30 times better probably because they include Michael Jordan.
Right,
you're
right.
Just like, what?
Yep.
But it's really cool. That was a really cool clip.
No doubt. And he is part of the fabric of college basketball. If you're going to tell story of college basketball, how much he meant through the era, especially of, you know, the 70s into the 80s, you had his greatness wearing down a little bit in the 90s. They didn't go on the tournament runs that he was accustomed to. And then, of course, he gets in the trouble of the putting his hands around the throat of the player, and then he was on kind of a zero tolerance and has an altercation with a student, and that was a messy divorce. It was cool, no matter how you maybe feel. Well, I'd say if you probably feel one side negatively, you don't want anything good to happen to him, but I do appreciate it. I thought it was cool when he finally came back to Bloomington after like 20 years and, you know, was willing to be back.
Kind of make amends.
Yeah.
Yeah,
be back
at
Assembly
you.
Hall with that fan base and everything.
Yep.
And even if you can't stand the candy stripes and they make you sick, you got to kind of be like, ah, yeah, that was all right. I do want to get to a quick text on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Darren says, it seemed to me that Gene Cady was more intimidating than Knight. What do you think?
I think the difference is that Gene Cady, after the game was over, didn't carry that over. And in fact, I had a chance to meet Gene Cady a couple of times. Now, I did not meet Bobby Knight. I was in press conference settings with him, mm-hmm. but never met him like I had met Gene Cady. Gene Cady was kind of a funny dude as well. The difference is Bob Knight would just carry around an anger, it seemed like forever. And Gene Cady could kind of understand that. Now, I'm not saying that Brad Underwood doesn't go into a press conference ticked off.
Sure.
But they also kind of understand that, okay, that just happened. There's nothing I can do about it. I can be salty a little bit about what my team just did, and we've got to be better. But I'm also not going to carry it for the next 3 days and just jump down everybody's throat that I see. That would be my difference between Cady and – Cady could be intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me the story today that Gene Cady, when he was telling a story to a group, and somebody asked him about throwing his coat. You know, he was always famous for that. And he said, I remember one time I did it, and I turned around and I flung that thing, and right as soon as it left my hand, I realized my checkbook was in it. And he said, and the next thing I know, I'm two rows deep trying to get my coat. Meanwhile, I'm getting teed up on the court and not coaching basketball. And he's like, I should have learned my lesson, but I didn't do that. He's like, from the next time, I didn't take my checkbook.
Oh, my gosh.
To the game. Oh, that's funny.
And he had, like, the oil can
hair. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I can't remember who asked about it was Sal. He said, was it Heathcote or Cady that bounced the ball off their face? That was Judd.
Yeah, I heard that story about Heathcote.
He got mad. Ball came up flying over to him, and he got mad. He slammed it on the ground. It came up and drilled him. Oh, my.
Bill says, Cady was sane. Knight was not. Sane is less scary than not sane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you heard is the toilet paper thing with Knight? Is that a real thing?
That's in that book, I think.
I think it is, yeah.
Where he thought his team was practicing like that.
Yeah.
So he went into the restroom and brought a little sample out. I mean, that right there, just, it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And Neil Reed, who passed away, I think, I'm pretty positive, right? He passed away. He was the one that Knight's choked. I mean, mm-hmm. You see it on the screen.
It's on video, yeah.
So, yeah, that was kind of an ugly thing.
Yep. Let's get...
Just some ugly moments, yeah.
No doubt. Absolutely. Let's get the perspective of someone who played against Bobby Knight, that being Stephen Bardo, who joined us coming up next. Stick around for that. This is The Drive.
Improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Dwayne Linton, a nationally certified nurse in the emergency department at Carle Foundation Hospital.
I work with a team of people who really care about what they do and are very flexible and adaptive in rapidly changing critical situations, and I would trust any of them at any time.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Dwayne in a supportive environment, visit carle.org/careers.
Are you tired of the daily drive? Ready to embrace the freedom of working from home? Look no further than Tapman's Towing. They're hiring remote dispatchers to join their team from the comfort of your own home. At Tapman's, you'll play a vital role in coordinating their dedicated tow truck drivers, helping people in need. Join them today. Experience the convenience of working from home with Tapman's Towing. Apply now at tapmanstowing.com. Tapman's Towing, where every day is a new opportunity to make a difference.
Fighting Illini football is back in Memorial Stadium for Dad's Day and Military Appreciation Day, Saturday, November 11th, as they take on the Indiana Hoosiers. Get tickets for as low as $20 as we celebrate dads for this proud Illinois tradition. All active military personnel are eligible to receive free tickets. Be in your seat early for a special military flyover. Illinois football versus Indiana, Saturday, November 11th. Get tickets and more info at fightingillini.com.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm Home and Auto Insurance, you can save an average of $889. The Brian Hansen State Farm Agency is ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Champaign-Urbana. Call 217-344-1900 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual household savings based on 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circus Sports is now available in Illinois. Hi, I'm Derek Stevens. I've been a lifelong sports bettor and I'm the owner of Circus Sports. We're excited that the Circus Sports app is now ready for action. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, and more. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Illinois. Download your new bookie today at circusports.com. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER or text ILGAMB to 833-234.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit bulldoggybag.com.
That's bulldoggybag.com.
Make plans to pop into Pia's at 1609 West Springfield Avenue for happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday with 16-ounce drafts, just $3.25, well drinks, $4. Taco Tuesdays get you big tacos for $2.50, $2 off on tequila shots and margaritas, $5. Get Mexican beers for $4 each. Go south of the border on Tuesdays at Pia's, then there's Whiskey Wednesdays and karaoke a few times a month on Fridays with $4 fireball shots. Uh-oh, Pia's is the place to party any day of the week.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Looking for a place to host a corporate meeting, intimate gathering, or a large-scale celebration? If so, the University of Illinois' Alice Campbell Alumni Center offers the perfect space and staff to make your function a success. A few rooms offered at the center include the elegant ballroom, the Richmond Family Gallery, and the premier and professional executive boardroom. For more information on renting a space at the Alice Campbell Alumni Center, visit uiaa.org/alumni-center or call 1-800-355-2555. 586. Go Illini!
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's go to the Tapman's Towing phone line now. We've been talking Bobby Knight. Obviously his legacy and the complicated evaluation, I think, for people, especially Illini fans, in terms of how they feel about him and respecting the resume and the record. A guy that, you know, when you're on the other side of the rivalry and really just a coach that was a lightning rod for controversy and had his incidents, I think it's kind of interesting to get the pulse on that. But let's, speaking of which, get the pulse from a guy that played against him, member of the Flying Illini and current NBA and college basketball analyst Stephen Bardo joining us now on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Stephen, thanks for taking the time out. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely. So, Bobby Knight, when the news comes down that he passes away, as someone that played against him, what comes to your mind when you first think about him, and what was it like going up against a giant like that in college basketball?
Well, it makes me think about my interactions with Coach Knight as a player playing against the Hoosiers, but also it takes me back to my childhood a little bit because my brother Craig, who was 6 years older than me, played for Bobby Knight his freshman year on the national championship team with Isaiah Thomas. And so Coach Knight came to our house, and I'm in eighth grade, and he was a bigger-than-life presence then. And to be able to meet him and talk to him a little bit and then to go watch Indiana games over in Bloomington as a eighth grader, man, it left an indelible mark on me, and I knew that I wanted to play in the Big Ten as a result. So he not only was great to compete against his team and his players because they would scheme so well, they were always so well prepared. But it was just, you know, I'm glad that I've had this interaction with who I consider the best college basketball coach in the history of the game.
Steven, in terms of that, like as far as what you expected when you lined up against Indiana, really obviously emotional battles and had fans that were wanting to beat each other very badly, but you touched on it there in terms of the preparation. What else did you kind of know when you faced a Bob Knight team that you were getting out of them?
Well, that they were going to be disciplined. They were going to work as a team. And, you know, you had to really – you could never fall asleep. And, you know, in the Big Ten back then, which I think was the glory era of the conference, every game was a rock fight. But especially when you played Indiana and the style of play with their reaction motion defense, Lou Henson, my college coach, was smart enough to have us switch everything defensively because we were similar height. And that nullified a lot of the actions that Indiana tried to run against us. So we were uniquely positioned to compete against Coach Knight. And I like to always brag that I was 6-2 against Indiana during my 8 games I played against him.
There you go.
Yeah, that's something I'd remind a lot of people of. Steven Lante, how you been, my man?
I'm doing well, Lon. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, congrats to your dad, by the way, in the Saluki Hall of Fame a few years ago. I don't know that I had a chance to tell you that, but it's great to see Harold in the Hall of Fame for everything he did for the Salukis, both as an athlete and as an administrator. That's awesome for him, and congrats to him, of course, and the Bardo family. I know you mean a lot down in Carbondale, for sure.
Well, yeah, he means a lot. I don't know if I mean a lot, but no, I appreciate you saying that. It was a great honor because he absolutely loves Southern Illinois University, and he would do anything for that place.
Yeah, there's no doubt. All right, I can't help but wonder, like, so you come and play for Lou Henson. You could not ask for a more opposite guy than Bobby Knight. How much respect, or no, what do you think of that?
No, go ahead. I didn't know. I thought you had finished.
No, that's my fault. So that's my perception, right? You couldn't ask for two different guys. And I know we saw the stuff in public, right? The bully, that kind of stuff, and the embrace at the end with Bob and all of that, and Lou kind of making the comment like, wait, is this the Bobby Knight I know? What was that like kind of behind the scenes? Did Lou ever talk about that with you, even after maybe your playing career ended on things with Bob Knight?
No, not really. You know, Lou was, God rest his soul, was close to the cuff on those type of things.
Yeah.
Lou really appreciated being in the coaching fraternity. And even though, you know, he and Bob had their dust ups every now and every blue moon, they had great respect for one another.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't really go into detail about that. You know, he had a famous quote, he called him a bully, and I think he was a little bit upset one time when he went to greet him, and Bob kind of blew him off a little bit. So I think that Lou took exception to that, but you would never hear him talk poorly about Bob, you know, in a normal situation, because he had a tremendous amount of respect for him, and I think Bob Knight had a tremendous amount of respect for Lou as well.
Absolutely. Did you have many conversations with Bobby Knight as a player? I know, obviously, probably after college you had plenty, but did you talk to him much as a player when you guys were competing against Indiana?
A little bit, and you know, I often tell the story. We beat them, and we're coming off the floor, and he says, "Man, I recruited the wrong Bardo." So it was, you know, looking back on it, it was a compliment. But I got a little ticked off about it. I wasn't very pleased with it. I said something to him because I would never curse and be disrespectful, but I let him know that I didn't care for that comment.
Hmm.
But that was his way in his own quirky way of giving me a compliment.
Right.
And so, you know, looking back on it, you know, I kind of cherish that exchange because, you know, it let me know that he had respect for my game and what I was able to accomplish on the court.
Sure.
Stephen Bardo is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at Stephen Bardo. Stephen, would you want to play for him given the opportunity? Was that something you thought about? Obviously, your brother was there in Bloomington for a year. Is that something you ever saw yourself doing or wanting to do?
Absolutely not. Bob Knight was a bigger-than-life figure, and the aura around that program was so strong. And you go over there, it's intoxicating. It really is. But his style was so aggressive at times mm-hmm. that I was always a guy that I ran through walls for any coach I played for, whether I liked him or not. But his style probably would have grated on me a little bit, and I don't think that I would have maximized my potential under his tutelage.
And talking to your brother Craig, and I'm obviously knowing, you know, the circles that you are in as far as the basketball community, did it vary in terms of experiences? I know it seems like some people, even as tough as he was to probably play for, adored him, but then obviously mm-hmm. some guys that were there probably hated him during their time in Bloomington. So what was kind of the temperature and you talking to people that played for him, what that was like?
Well, I think, you know, you would hear players, my brother included, would say that, you know, he was tough at times. I mean, he did things that, you know, would leave players and former players scratching their head. But at the end of the day, Robbie Hummel and I were on Big Ten Network set last night. We were talking off the air. And Robbie and I agreed probably 90% of the guys that play for Bob Knight love him mm-hmm. because he did a number of different things for guys after their careers are over that no one knows about. The cameras weren't around. We didn't have cell phones back then, so you couldn't catch what, you know, Bob Knight was doing for his ex-players. He just did it, and he was very quiet about it. But he went above and beyond what you would expect from a college coach to do for certain guys that were in need, or if a player was pretty certain about his direction or where he wanted to go after he finished at Indiana, Bobby Knight would do anything to try to help them. So, you know, some of the things in the moment, because, you know, guys, we're all 18 to 22 years old, and, you know, I'm in my 50s now, so I can reflect back on it with a much more mature outlook on it. But when you're in the heat of the fire and a guy is just riding you, it's kind of tough at times.
Amen. Stephen Bardo, our guest, former Illini great, Derek Piper, mentioned today that Bobby Knight only coached one player that went on to become an all-star in the NBA. I didn't know that stat. What made him such a great coach, Stephen, you think?
I think Coach Knight could look at an opponent and break them down in a way that he could put his team in position to take advantage of their weaknesses.
Right.
So, for example, there was the tournament run that Indiana had. They played the second round game in the 50s. They got to the Final Four against UNLV. And they beat the brakes off UNLV by dropping 97 points.
Wow.
I'm not sure I've seen any college coach be able to go win a game in the 50s during the tournament and then win another game in the 90s. I don't think that's happened. And so I just think that he was able to adjust what his team's approach to try to get the best outcome.
A few more minutes here with Stephen Bardo. I wanted to ask you, Illinois – a lot of fans really excited about what they showed against number one Kansas here this past weekend. What did you take away from what the Illini were able to put on display in that game and just kind of the feelings for yourself going into this season?
I'm impressed. I have to share with you guys that I went to practice the morning after the Ottawa exhibition, and I was ecstatic for that opportunity because that was going to show me a lot of the character of this team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of times you'll get in the exhibition game and then like within 12 hours, you got to be back. You got to be on the practice floor. So some guys are dragging, some guys are, you know, resting on the laurel. Man, the Illini team was getting after it. I mean, defensively, they were flying around. There was a lot of communication, a lot of fist pumping, a lot of high fiving. And I think it has to do with the fact that the team got really old this year as opposed to last year. So they've got guys who understand that you have to come to work every day. They got guys who, you know, they had their individual accolades at previous locations. Now they just want to win, and you can tell. So, you know, the fact that they beat Kansas, and Kansas was trying to win that game, I don't care what anybody says, you take something from that. You should be able to take a lot of confidence from that game. I liked what I saw from Ty Rogers at the point guard position, because that seems to be the biggest question mark of this team this season, and the way that they're going to use Marcus Dumas to back him up and some other combinations. I was very impressed. But, you know, to have five players in that game all over the age of 22, that's got to be a comforting feeling for Brad Underwood and the Illini Nation.
Yeah, I mean, get that dog with Damask, man. Let's get that Saluki dog up here, and let's win at a high level. Come on, we know that. Steven, I got to ask you this, though, because you went – this is why you're a professional. You went right to that point of being an older team. You guys were an older team, right, in 89, and the Big Ten was in general. It seemed like every team, obviously, had old guys. And you saw at the end of that Kansas game that I don't think Damask, but a lot of the older guys were on the court. What does that mean in the final 4 minutes of a game? I mean, is it just, in your mind, what does it mean to have that much experience out there on the court?
Well, I think what happens is, you know, if I'm a point guard and I'm a senior and I've got four of the seniors on the floor with me, there's certain things that these guys can do non-verbally that they can understand each other because they've been in all these situations.
Yep.
And so the reason why coaches love older players is because they're not going to get in the game and see something and freeze, you know, not be able to perform. They've been through these scenarios. They know how to fight through adversity. They know how to stop a run. Like last year's team, to me, I thought didn't understand – clock in situation a lot of times where they would come down and shoot a quick three,
yep,
and the team is making an 8-10-0 run on them, and they're coming down and jacking a quick shot. And so those types of things I don't think you're going to see nearly as much this season with these veteran players. They know, you know, what we need to do to stop a run. We need to get a bucket here. Terrence Shannon is hot. We need to get him the ball. Coleman Hawkins is rolling. We need to get him the ball. Those are things that come with veteran players, and I think that's gonna show through the season for the Illini.
Last one for you, Steven. You mentioned it already with Ty, and obviously you know what it's like to play the point guard position at a high level. What are the signs you'll be looking for out of him as we push forward in the season, that he's settling into that he's growing? And I think it's interesting, though, also, I mean, that's not a guy that was out there in the final few minutes against Kansas. I wonder what that's going to look like, closing leads, maybe without a true point guard out there. Is that something that could be problematic, or do you see that as something they can kind of overcome?
I think that it could be problematic in certain situations based on the matchup, but I think Ty's got to get more confident at the free throw line. I've seen him in practice shoot the ball, and he shoots the ball way better in practice than he does in game. And so that, to me, that points to confidence. And so, it's tough to keep a kid on the court, especially the point guard position, that's not confident at the free throw line.
Yeah,
so right. Until he becomes more confident at the line, I don't know that he'll be in the games late in the games when it's tight, because teams could zero in on him and put him on the line, and it would be a disadvantage for the Illini. So I think that, it's my hope, because I love the kid. I think he's a wonderful young man. I'm speaking to Ty Rogers right now.
Sure.
And I think that he has the ability to play at the next level. It's just a matter of whether between his ears, can he develop that confidence, because everyone else can see it. And he just hasn't totally embraced it at this point. But I think it's going to come.
Yep.
Steven, appreciate the insights as always.
89 still better than 05. Steven, come on.
All day, every day.
Let's go.
Great to catch up with you. See him on Big Ten Network, Fox Sports, and we'll have to do this again sometime down the road, Steven. Thank you for taking the time out today.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Steven Bardo.
I knew he was going to say that.
Throw up a softball there. You know, he's gonna
absolutely. That was the best pitch I've ever thrown for somebody to hit one out of the park. You know, that was definitely one. It's interesting. I'd love to ask Steven sometime about that 84 Illini team. Now, he would have been younger. He would have been in high school or whatever, but that team with Bruce Douglas and Ephraim Winters, and that was a good team.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be interesting. Anthony Welch was on that team, and be cool. Listen, Bob Knight, obviously, I thought that was fair when he said I wouldn't want to play for him. And I'm guessing Bardo's not the kind of guy that's going to shy away from playing for a tough coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, Lou always seemed like a teddy bear, but sure. I'm sure Lou could get on you a little bit, but certainly nowhere close to
it. I would not see that out of Lou Henson, no.
It is interesting to think, though, and how do you argue with how Lou Henson coached that 89 team? I mean, my goodness. I still think best team in the country that year, but it is interesting when you think about, like, if Knight coached like that crew, you know, and how that would have worked out and such. But he said it there with Lou Henson. They had a team that everybody was about 6'6 to 6'8, and they're like, well, let's just switch on defense. Why wouldn't we? That team was so athletic.
Mm.
Don't get me on that debate. Don't get me on that debate.
Do we need a rebuttal? We need to call up D. Brown?
I know. We need to get
James Augustine?
I'd love to get like 12 guys in a room. Six from 89, six from 05, and just hash it out.
Mm. It's too bad we couldn't just jump in the time machine and put both those squads in their peak.